Welcome to What If, So What, the podcast where we ask what's possible with digital and figure out how to make it real in your business. I'm Jim Hertzfeld.
And I'm Kim Chopek. We're part of Perficient's digital strategy team, and today we'll ask what if, so what, and most importantly, now what? As of this podcast's release date, the entire population will have lived through a shared experience of global significance, the COVID-19 pandemic. Regardless of where you lived or are living through it, we are all experiencing at some point the inability to get the products and services we desire. In some cases, it's not a big deal. We're all able to get creative on what we call toilet paper. But in other cases, the lack of access meant the difference between life and death. We all saw the headlines when the companies whose brand promise was to deliver those life and death products and services could do nothing more than shrug when asked when they were going to deliver on what they were promising. Hard lessons learned on so many levels, with some companies still struggling to make sure it won't happen again. Today, we talk with Sean Reynolds, Chief Marketing Officer and Executive Vice President at Logility, and specialist in all things supply chain, to get his thoughts on what it takes to have a modern supply chain operation today and what the new customer-driven mandates are when it comes to supply chain transparency. Sean, welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me.
Your career in digital has spanned several companies, several titles, several areas of focus. Can you, just for the listeners, give us a quick summary of your background and what you are focused on these days?
Well, these days, I'm focused on leading go-to-market strategy and marketing, and have for a number of companies. I spent a majority of my career at SAP in a variety of roles as they were launching new businesses and leading go-to-market strategy, building marketing teams, and launching those globally for about 10 years. Before that, had some experience in startups. Raised some funding and built a couple of my own digital companies, and also then worked with a company to acquire and lead a company in the supply chain space. So supply chain, ERP, go-to-market strategy, marketing, that's been most of my career.
You've seen a lot. And the broad topic of digital, you've seen a lot. And we're really excited to have you talk about specifically the supply chain area, because for lack of a better word, that's what kind of tanked for a lot of businesses in the past year, 18 months. How do you think digital transformation activities in other areas of the business elevates the need for better digital supply chain capabilities?
No, it's an interesting question, and your comment about it tanking. I would argue that it really was just a test. Most leaders in supply chain, and for dozens and dozens of years as the evolution of supply chain has become much more digital, and we'll talk about that in a moment, but the resiliency of your supply chain and being prepared for disruption has been a big part of planning and what supply chain leaders have been doing for their entire life. But last year was a test like no other test. So we were all, and everyone in the world, I think, probably heard the words supply chain more than any two words in business, just as a result of the pandemic and all of the impact. But the digital supply chain and being prepared for disruption is what most experts are always trying to do. Prepare, predict, and plan around delivering the products and services, and of course, the promise that they have in their brand to their customers.
And it's really the backbone, I would argue, of a good customer experience. And you're right, it's funny, when my parents are using the word supply chain, I know that this is a bigger issue out there in the world. But just for our listeners and people who aren't as familiar with supply chain and ERP, in a nutshell, what happened? Where did the major failures come from over the COVID period of time?
Simply, I think we all understand what happened because it was promoted so heavily in media, but you know, supply chains and factories came to a halt. All significant production was delayed. There were shortages. We all remember the toilet paper and diaper situation. I recall some McKinsey reports that were out. Average percentage of retail out of stock rose from, I think it was about 10% on average, to 65 or 75% during the pandemic. So everyone was, you know, seeing this disruption because things were falling apart throughout the entire supply chain. Close of factories, delays of production, ability to deliver in the shortages. 40% of all of the products and services that we receive and that everyone is consuming are typically transported in passenger aircrafts. So think about that for a moment. When we were all experiencing and watching every country shut down and the airlines were grounded, all the factories were closing, we were all being impacted by a lack of availability of products as a result. Companies around the world felt that turmoil, and we all as consumers were impacted dramatically.
Absolutely. And I think from the customer experience perspective, where we saw a lot of failures was just the lack of communication. So a brand might know that it was out of stock or it was short or it wasn't going to be able to meet their SLAs, but didn't communicate effectively. And my thought is, would love to get your theory on this, they just didn't have that transparency, or they couldn't articulate it in a way that they felt confident. But what do you think?
Yeah, I think that's certainly part of it. You know, both on the supply and the demand side, there were huge disruptions, you know, changing of suppliers, plants closing, transportation capacity, like we were talking about, raw material availability. And then you had spikes on the demand side that were high, stores closing, consumer changes in behaviors. People were running for the right things and the wrong things that weren't available. So transparency on where everything is in that supply chain and having the ability to manage that disruption, it was the number one topic and issue within the supply chain leadership of every company. On the consumer side, we're all hearing about the fact that there is no toilet paper. But when it came to the enterprise level, trying to predict and understand the disruption and how to best plan and prepare for what was next, because they all lead to some other disruption, and preparation and being prepared for what's next is what most supply chain leaders are always working on.
That's a great segue, because now, you know, fast forward 15 months, I think a lot of states as of yesterday were fully open. What do you think organizations really learned? What are they going to do to be more resilient next time? If this is all they think about, they're kind of caught without a good plan to move forward, what are they going to do next time to be better?
I think, at least based on our connection with and my connection with analysts and those that are making those decisions, building out, you know, the digital twin that they need to better understand where their suppliers are at any moment in time. I've recently published some new blog material that I can share with those that are here on steps to resiliency and what you need to do to take some steps as a company to really make a difference in what and how you prepare for the next big disruption, you know, the assessment, the justifications that you need, building out the vision, making the investment in the right places, and more importantly, making sure that you have a level of visibility within your own ranks and relationships that most companies really failed to do over the past couple of years.
Yes, we would love to. We can add those to our show notes. I think that would be a great reference for anyone who's interested in the topic. But aside from global pandemics, let's just talk about supply chain. I mean, that came to the forefront. But why else do you think supply chain, just the topic and how to be more agile, is more important to companies, consumers, and really society overall today?
Well, I think, and we talked about this briefly at one other point, about the shift in consumer and their behaviors, their interest in traceability and a better understanding of sustainability and where their products and services are coming from. I would argue that it's become equally as important, and we talked about this on a previous call, about the health and the ingredients in the products that you pull off the shelf at the grocery store. That enormous momentum over the past 20 years and change in how behaviors are with consumers to better understand what they're putting in their body and how to be healthier as we've all become more health conscious. I think we're all becoming more supply chain conscious. Where are my products coming from? Is it an ethical manner that the product was produced? And how and why is this product on the shelf? And how did it get here? And I think that's become a much more important topic for society. And as we see the changes in how companies are making commitments to sustainability, it is going to force this circumstance, a situation where consumers are going to have greater demands on brands and what they're going to deliver to them. And the visibility and transparency of the supply chain is a big part of that. And it's becoming a significant and important issue in media that you're probably reading about. The ethical treatment of people that are producing products in China that are ending up on the shelf here is a real issue for brands. They can no longer kind of turn an eye, or they have to focus on this. The consumers are expecting that. And how they leverage digital supply chain technology to deliver the right products that are going to meet their sustainability and brand promise is an important part of the shift that companies are making at an enterprise level. And you're going to see more and more of that as we move over the next 3 to 5 years.
Absolutely. We call that, as an umbrella term, digital responsibility. And we kind of think about supply chain transparency and sustainability as things to consider in your overall digital planning, how to digitize, how to communicate.
We've worked with a few companies, but some new analysis that was kind of coming to the forefront around consumers that are willing to pay more. And that's really driving a lot of the change, not a surprise, right? So everyone wants to do the right thing. But when brands are becoming more aware that, you know, a larger percentage of the adult consumers are willing to pay more for eco-friendly or sustainable products, and 50%, I think it was 50 or 60% making purchasing decisions around that are being influenced by the sustainability claims. So people are making decisions on what brands they select based on the sustainability claims of those brands. And most are willing to even pay more for products that are more eco-friendly. So this, of course, is going to raise a greater level of contribution of resource for brands to do better here. And I think that's going to cascade down to how every one company who's contributing to the supply chain of those brands is going to make changes. It's an incredible move that's happening in the marketplace, and it's one that I believe has an enormous level of momentum now. People are changing the way they think about what brands they want to buy, and they're demanding that they have more eco-friendly and ethical treatment that is behind the production of those products, and they're pushing that back into the brands that serve them. And of course, it's going to go trickle down throughout the entire supply chain.
Which I think is positive for society at large. I saw similar research. Maybe we saw the same thing. I'm curious, though, I had thought, so are brands just responding to social pressure to get that market share, recover that market share, gain that market share? Or are there benefits to the brands themselves that you could enlighten us to, that to say, it's not just social pressure. There's more to it. There's more business benefit than you might think.
Yeah, significant. If you look at the shift, and you mentioned earlier the digital transformation of business, you could apply a lot of the same metrics all the way down through this momentum around digital supply chain. Yeah, there's some enormous benefits that we just talked about as it relates to social responsibility and what brands are doing to be better and serve the world better. But the business benefits are significant. We talked about retailers and the use of cotton that might be coming out of regions of the world that are not potentially being unethical. For instance, in China, the Shenzhen area is getting a lot of attention around cotton production in certain areas that could potentially be sourced from areas that slave labor or other ethical issues are being dealt with from those organizations and governments. If we can trace all the way down to the cotton ball and we understand where that's coming from, of course, there's some benefit there that's highlighted in the responsibility items that we talked about. But the ability to trace all the way down to the cotton ball provides an enormous opportunity for optimization and reduces risk. There are a variety of metrics that are tied to just that alone. Now, you take that entire digital supply chain, and if you were a company that were making investments in building digital twinning and defining where your supply chain is and optimizing it throughout, you'll see and realize enormous benefits from that shift to digital, which can be expanded on. I've got a great deal of data here that I can share with those that are listening today. But there's enormous value and benefit there, related but not exclusive to the social responsibility metrics that we talked about.
Yes, no, of course. And only because you've mentioned it a few times and it hasn't come up on earlier podcasts, digital twinning. Can you just define that for our listeners really quickly?
Yeah, it's just the digital replication of your supply chain, which gives those that are responsible for planning and building the supply chain for any enterprise, gives them the opportunity to optimize a digital twin of what would be a real supply chain so that they can actually make those optimizations based on the analytics and details around the entire supply chain without actually going to the physical model. It's the same digital twin model that ERP and other parts of the business would leverage.
So is it a fancy word for modeling?
Yeah. Call it that. I think the unique part of this, if you take into consideration how complex some supply chains are for a large enterprise, it reduces the risk significantly.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, good investment. I think we're trying to disambiguate buzzwords, and digital twin has come up a lot offline, and a lot of people are asking effort to achievement there. But I think you hit the nail on the head. But getting back to supply chain operations, presumably, if you're a brand in this world, you were affected, you've started making improvements. But if you're a brand that hasn't done anything to improve supply chain operations, let's say in the past 15 months, where do you recommend a brand starts? Is there a new imperative? Is there just a table stakes that everyone should be aware of? Is there an aspiration everyone should be, you know, looking towards? What do you think?
I would argue that most that are leading supply chains, and as I'd mentioned at the top of this call, there are several professionals within every enterprise that are responsible for supply chain that are in a constant pursuit of resilient and disruption. They're constantly focused on what they can do to optimize and be better. This recent year just exposed a lot of that. Of course, it was the perfect storm that made it very difficult for a lot of companies to deliver. So I would argue that a lot of these steps are being taken or are. It's just an evolution of that. Companies are really, I think as it relates to this bigger topic around social responsibility, companies are really no longer able to hide behind the fact that full supply chain traceability is too hard or technology can't get us there. That's just no longer the case. And there's a movement here led by the consumer that I think they have to calibrate around how they're going to expose and be more transparent around where their products are coming from. I think that is the big shift that is going to make it difficult as they're taking into consideration what all they need to be doing to be resilient. But that is going to add another layer of expectation that perhaps most enterprise has not been prepared for at this given moment in time. Everything's accelerating. And I think that's probably the most disruptive part of all of this. The expectations of consumers to have that level of transparency is accelerating. And it's a result of what happened last year. And that's just adding a new level of expectation to an already very difficult challenge for most enterprise to optimize their supply chain, to make sure that they're delivering against their brand promise, which is now being tested. Are they delivering on that brand promise?
Yes. And that's what we talk about most things on our side of the business as it relates to customer experience is tied to the brand promise. And certainly I can echo from our customer research and from our client conversations, you're exactly right. This is the topic. How do we become more transparent? How do we communicate that to our customers? How do we show we're living up to the brand promise? And it's challenging. It's fraught with more than just technology decisions.
Yeah, I believe that. The complexity of supply chain, regardless of size and maturity of your business, is a challenge for all companies now. And this added layer of expectation from consumers is going to really test the whole system. I do believe that majority of companies certainly want to do what's right, and they want to deliver against those sustainability promises that they're making and what they're doing to be socially responsible for the world. But it is a challenge to apply the right technology and to provide that level of transparency and do all the right things, along with optimizing the entire supply chain and being prepared for the next enormous disruption, which could be something like a pandemic that could shut things down, right? It's very challenging.
Well, let's hope that in our lifetime, these brands all prepare, but we don't have to be challenged with that preparation. But Sean, thank you so much for your time and your thoughts today. I know I've learned a lot and we'll look forward to adding some of those references to our show notes. Thanks again for your time.
Thanks so much for having me.
Now it's time for our namesake segment, What If, So What, and most importantly, Now What? Hey, Jim. Sean was really interesting. It was a great conversation, pretty thought-provoking. What resonated with you?
Hey, Kim. Yeah, so much. I mean, let me just level set. My starting point, my mental starting point was with the word supply chain, with that phrase, because I go back to what I remember it was kind of early in my career in the 90s. It was new to me, right? The concept was new and I was fascinated by it because I just thought about literally suppliers. I need to make something and I have vendors that supply the raw materials. Some of the industries I grew up in, you know, that was kind of our problem. We got to get coils of steel into this building so the washing machines can come out the other end. That's the extent of supply chain, but it's so much more now. And it's always been critical. It's always been important. You know, it's been always from a business perspective, but I was going to go back to a quote that I love. And I think it was from Omar Bradley, General Omar Bradley in World War II. And he said, amateurs talk strategy, experts talk logistics, aka supply chain. For the record, experts also talk about strategy.
Hopefully.
I want to be clear about that, right? A lot of amateurs do too. But I think the point was amateurs are not able to talk about logistics, you know, and that's really where things happen. Of course, the origin of that was, if you've ever studied military history, there's all this romance and movies are made about the battles, but nobody makes a movie and gets excited about or made their career, their personality on how they got the fuel to the battlefront. And that's really what he was talking about. Like, how does that happen? And then I was thinking about how many supply chains exist in our lives. We're talking a lot about, you know, product delivery. Like, how do I get products out to the market? You know, so toilet paper, how do I keep the store shelves stocked, you know, keep people fed? Look, that was a panic few weeks there, right? Last year. So
yes, it sure was.
You know, then you think about the fuel and then you kind of rewind it. And I think issues we're having today, you know, their plywood shortage. Well, I have a friend that owns a lumber yard. He said, well, it's because there's this resin that is made in South America and it's used to make OSB plywood. And that's the problem. And it becomes complicated. I know it's been a while since I missed a flight or was late, but is it because of maintenance issues? You know, it's usually the flight crew. Like, there's another supply chain, right? How do we get a flight crew coming in from Phoenix and coming in from Detroit and they're landing at O'Hare kind of the same time? And we got to get them on this plane to Cincinnati. So how does all that work? It's a topic that I'll come back to this later, but it's a topic that it really is central to everything. And I think that was the trend. I think we've thought about supply chain leaders as constantly optimizing, you know, and in retail, Kim, we talked about, you know, how do you go from 5-day shipping to 2-day shipping? Well, how do you go from 2 to 1? How do you go from 1 day to same day? And how are we constantly optimizing and improving that? But the trend is, and we heard this a lot from Sean, right? The demands are higher, not just work faster, but I want to be more reliable and I want all this transparency. And so I think that trend was happening. And again, I love this idea that you guys talked about is that the test. Now, this was a big test. And we did a shakedown, you know, of the system. By the way, we were on this huge ramp to add all of this functionality and all this capability into supply chain management. And then in the middle of it, we did a fire drill, right? So there's so much to unpack in what Sean was saying. And I feel like we just scratched the surface. But what did you think, Kim? Do you think that's the case?
Yes, I think we could have several episodes with Sean. And, you know, we've talked a lot about strategy. We've talked a lot about execution this season with all of our guests. I agree. The idea that this was a test like no other test, that really resonated with me. But it also made me feel like with all the failures, it wasn't one or two companies. It was the lack of transparency, the lack of source products, lack of source material around the world. We clearly weren't as prepared as we thought we were. And I think that it really exposed an area where we were all lulled into a false sense of comfort and makes me wonder where else in organizations is that comfort? Who is going to be impacted next? Were the failures ultimately that we saw on the customer experience side in terms of not being able to communicate clearly, not being transparent about, you know, lots of different things, Was this a reflection of not only the supply chain failures, but all the different silos we still see in the business? And again, it just reminds me, strategy versus execution, execution versus strategy, there are clearly still gaps. And pandemics aside, other crises will expose some of those gaps, will continue to expose those gaps. But I think my biggest takeaway in talking with Sean is the shift in customer expectation that the supply chain, first of all, everyone knows what a supply chain is now, that it must be transparent. And as customers, we will all pay more for that guarantee, you know, that there is no reason anymore that a company can't get down to the source of all products and services and making their buying decisions, how that's driving more fundamental changes in not only supply chain initiatives, but other corporate social responsibility and digital responsibility strategies is critical and exciting to me.
Yeah. As business leaders, we often make decisions about with limited resources and what can we do and where do we focus and what are the positive risks? What are the negative risks? And you do have to take your chances, but there's no doubt about it. Like this trend is was accelerated and it's going to continue. So Kim, I think there's, I was trying to boil this down to a single what if.
So many.
It's a tough one. One of the things I think about is when you think about a customer journey, right? It's a process, right? It's a flow. It's nonlinear in reality.
Yes, right.
When we think about customers, you know, kind of moving through this funnel or this journey or this life cycle, and there's things you want to know, like, oh, who are they? What do they want? Where are they trying to go? Where do they change their mind and loop back? And I was thinking, do we think about products the same way? Product goes through a life cycle. It has to be conceived and engineered and specified and sourced and manufactured and moved and processed and shipped and consumed. So they all exist on some sort of life cycle. And there's all this stuff we want to know about, right? So I think my what if is, you just said it, like the average person learned about supply chain last year a little bit, didn't want to, but I think the trend was there. Whether we knew it was a supply chain or not, I think the question of what if you could know everything about that product? You want to know every business, we want to know everything about the customer. Well, the customer's turning it around. What if we could know everything about that product? When's it going to be here? First and foremost, like how long is it going to take? When can you deliver it? Can you deliver it to my office instead of my house? Can you deliver it to my front porch instead of my back porch? Can I return it? Let's not forget that part of the equation. I think these are table stakes right now from the average consumer, but it just keeps going. Hey, brand, if you want to know all about me, I want to know all about you. What about, you know, what is your brand promise? How does that make its way into the supply chain? Where were these materials sourced? Do they fit my social values? Do they fit my lifestyle? Do they fit my health plan? Not my insurance plan, but healthy living. Are these the right ingredients for me?
Right, right.
Is it a sustainable source? Sean mentioned, is this the right cotton ball for me? You know, or the right field for me? You know, what story does it tell? You know, what meaning does that have? I was thinking about two things there. You know, in the art world, we talk about provenance, right? Where did it come from? Who had it? Or you think about where the ingredients came from. What journey was it on? What's the story behind it? These things matter to people for many reasons, right? And not just from a preference perspective. So there's so much there. What do you think, Kim? What happens next?
I think it is really the so what. I think some of these things are table stakes. And again, it's being driven by customer demand. And I think it goes to your point beyond ingredients and whether or not your cotton is organic, but who actually harvested this cotton? How are they being treated? How are they being paid? And I think customers, and we've seen in the data, and we'll add to the show notes some references and stats that Sean brought up, but people will pay more for it. So I think the so what for any organization, full stop, full supply chain visibility and transparency is possible. It's not too hard. It's expensive, but it's an investment that is worth it. They are feasible capabilities, but companies need to make a decision on the level of transparency they're willing to offer. If there isn't full transparency, though, you're going to risk business. You're going to risk your customer relationships. Transparency is the first step, maybe for some organizations, to make more fundamental corrections in their supply chain. The brand promise must be reexamined and aligned with customer expectations. Inauthenticity is transparent in another way, right? Customers will see through any lack of transparency. And I think that means there are parallel mandates now for supply chain professionals. if we take for granted what Sean said, that supply chain professionals, their life's work is improvements and optimizations, I think they keep examining, keep optimizing, be honest on where there are gaps, because I think perhaps they weren't being honest before with themselves. And I think understanding the gaps in transparency and customer visibility to address consumer expectations, these are two new parallel mandates, I think, for any organization and their supply chain ops. But then what? Now what?
I totally agree with you, Kim. And I just, you know, it's so much more beyond resiliency, because even, you know, even the resiliency mandate, if there's no material, like if there's one factory and that factory is shut down, there's no amount of resiliency, right? That's going to result beyond resiliency. It really is around transparency and making good choices. And I think, I guess my now what would be really kind of bring this back to sort of digital terms, digital strategy terms. I'll go back to something we did in the very first episode of this podcast. We talked about what digital is. And I don't think supply chain was on that list, Kim. I think we talked a lot about really direct customer facing technologies and experiences and capabilities. I guess the now what is, we got to move supply chain into that checklist, you know? So we talk a lot about building good empathy and journeys, being more omni-channel, while being more consistent and data-driven, serve the customer, not the channel, or let the customer shop the brand instead of the channel. All those things stand. And I think what we got to do is elevate or graduate supply chain as a fundamental part of that digital strategy and understand how that's going to impact all of these things. Like, how does supply chain capability impact being data-driven? How does it impact being omnichannel? How does it impact being digitally responsible? That's my big takeaway. And I hope folks do that. You know, again, in some cases they have to, but they have to realize that they need to.
I think that's 100% correct. And it's funny because I think you're right. I think it was missing, at least explicitly, from our conversations. But when we talk internally, it's funny because we always talk about supply chain and order management as the beating heart of the entire operation.
Sure.
And you know what happens when you eat a lot of fatty fried foods? your heart stops working. You know, I agree. I think we need to take another look at how we elevate the supply chain conversation and just make it part of that customer experience conversation. It's right there. It's part of it. It's the heart of any good customer experience.
I think you're right, Kim.
Well, thanks again for the conversation, Jim. And thanks to Sean for educating us on all things supply chain. Until next time, keep asking, what if, so what, and now what?
You've been listening to What If So What, the digital strategy podcast from Perficient with Jim Hertzfeld and Kim Chopek. We want to thank our Perficient colleagues, JD Norman and Rick Bauer, for our music today. Subscribe to the podcast and don't miss a single episode. You can find this season along with show notes at Perficient.com. Thanks for listening.